It's Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Studdard, Johnny Rogers, and Ashley Camrath. Talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the horn.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell
him again. Playing right now. What's going on, everybody?
Morning.
I can't hear nothing. I got these 1965 1943 World War II
headsets
on right now.
Now Casey looks like he's in the back of a plane about to take down some German fighters in an airplane.
If they were blue, these were the headsets when you were a kid when you had to do the hearing test at school.
Yeah.
Remember the blue ones, those plastic ones where you had to raise a hand when you
raise your finger when you hear a noise?
Yeah. Oh, left ear.
Wait, did y'all have to do that?
Yes.
Oh.
That explains it.
Yeah.
Explains it. Yeah.
That my hearing wasn't tested as a child.
Yeah. What was that?
All I keep thinking is something Star Wars related. I'm not a Star Wars person.
No,
okay, so.
Definitely World
no,
War
II. No, it's like Starsky and Hutch, where Ben Stiller was running on the beach with his headset. That's what it is. Y'all remember that?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
All right, well, of course it's going on the Twitter sphere, so y'all be sure to check it out.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
What's up?
Off week for the Horns.
Thank goodness.
Off week, I think, for the entire Big 12.
Yeah.
I think there's a game.
Third off week in a row.
Yeah, Kansas, West Virginia, right?
Yeah, they play this morning.
That's going to be, I don't think I'm going to watch that one. I mean, that's like the one, like, who?
Why who?
And they're just two bad teams.
Oh.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of good football going on right now.
Yeah.
Well,
Georgia, Alabama.
Georgia, Alabama.
That's going to be a good one.
Yep. You got Clemson, Georgia Tech today.
You got Mississippi State, A&M.
Yeah. What do you think about the Pirate taking on Jimbo and the crew?
Freaking last week I held to 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that don't happen much, but
I'll tell you, the game I'm really most excited about today is I'm excited to see Mac Brown take on his alma mater, Florida State. I mean, he's got North Carolina turned around, Casey. What are your thoughts on how good of a job Mac Brown is doing at North Carolina?
No, I am excited for him at North Carolina. You know, he is that coach that can go into your living room and he'll get players.
He can talk you into some things.
Oh yeah, and then he gets the right staff around him that really develops players, and that's the one thing he's developing.
Well, let me ask you that. I mean, that's something we haven't seen here at Texas in a long time.
No,
Mac kind of got lumped a little bit in that because he was Mr. February. He was the recruiting guy. But I think there's a lot of Texas fans out there right now who would love to see Mac Brown still at the 40 Acres.
I do.
I, for one, would love.
It's one of these things. So what did Mac go? He was here 16 years.
Yeah, some.
I know he had 10 consecutive 10-win seasons. So he probably had, and all his seasons were better than the seasons we've had the last freaking 8 years.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone wants to talk about and I listened to Rod and BK and KD, and Rod brought up that he goes, take out all the bowl game wins. But the one thing that makes me mad about everyone wants to count that bowl game win is they went to the Sugar Bowl and they lost 4 games. We had to go to the Cotton Bowl and the freaking Holiday Bowl back to back to back for losing 1 game.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
2 games back in, you know, it was like we lost to Oklahoma and that, you know, or whatever, and we'd be at the dang Holiday Bowl. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I don't know. And, you know, so I don't credit that.
Yeah, you guys in 2003 went 7-1, went to the Holiday Bowl. Next year in 2004, go to the Rose Bowl. I mean, you look at Mac Brown, just about every year was in a bowl game, and his worst ever conference, he had 1 year, he had 2 years in 2010 and 2011 where he finished 6th in the Big 12 in the conference.
Yeah.
And
after coming off a 2009 near championship.
And other than that, the worst he did at the University of Texas, other than those 2 years, was in 2012 when he tied for 3rd.
But this is when everything
else was one or two.
But this is when we had Muschamp in waiting. This is when all the Nick Saban rumors were swirling around. Yeah, it just nobody looked at the numbers.
Well, Muschamp was gone at 10.
Right.
Yeah. But then you had Brian Harsing, a coach in waiting as well at some point?
Yeah. But I mean, that's the thing, though.
The coach in waiting's never
My thing is
out.
This. My thing is this. You got alumni, donors have too much freaking power.
Okay.
So if you look at it, you get all these freaking donors that, okay, I'm not going to donate this year, and then they put a freaking the damn AD in a bind because he's like, okay, we're not going to get this funding now because Mac's still the coach. If they just let Mac figure it out for two more years, he would have had the program already turned around.
You're trying to say Texas would have been the number five ranked team in the country rather than North Carolina.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
3 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Would have done with a kid like Ellinger.
To that point, okay, so what's going on right now with Tom?
I don't know. All I know is that Sam didn't play well until the fourth quarter. He has all the heart. We'll give him that. You know what I'm
100%.
Saying? But if you look at it, like, he ain't throwing the ball well. But the thing is he's throwing into guys that are like blanket coverage because our receivers can't get off a freaking press man. So this is where it pisses me off. It goes back to receiver coach. Are you not coaching this? I would be up there every day in my receiver's face, jamming their ass, just every time they're every rep.
Every practice.
Every freaking rep. You out have either a coach or a DB, and I would even tell the coaches when we're going one-on-ones, but
team,
whatever,
yeah.
Jam his ass every play.
Just stay in his hip.
No, jam him at the line. He needs to learn how to get off. He needs to learn how to get off of that. Like, how is this still a problem?
Yeah,
because you're not coaching it, or they're not listening, or they're just stupid ass players. It's one or the other.
Well, I think,
or you get players that just don't give a crap and don't want to get better. Then I mean that sucks. So it's I don't know. You know what I mean? And then you go to the offensive line; they've been getting their ass whipped by freaking by twists for 2 years now.
Yep.
I mean, it's freaking ridiculous. Then we lose Brockemeyer's two boys. How do we let two guys go to freaking Alabama?
Exactly.
If I'm the O-line coach at Texas, they're here. They're here at Texas right now. Because you can't let two legacies go. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, Blake Brockemeyer is one of those names that will always ring true at the University of Texas. He was a stud. He was the offensive lineman.
And you let two of his two boys go to Alabama? That's some weak ass. Like, y'all should have called my ass. I would have got their ass here.
You'd head up to Fort Worth.
But I mean, that should never happen. A legacy like that should never happen. But and they go back to the twist, and you sit there. How do you not pick up a twist? I would be doing that walkthrough
every day in practice.
Every day, and I would tell the defense bring the twist, stunt all day on their ass.
Well,
if they can't pick it up, throw their ass, put their ass down, throw the next guy in.
Well, but I'd say, Casey, to that point, offense is putting up points. Okay.
Yeah.
They are,
but
scoring
they're killing
points.
Themselves is why they're losing games. The right guard in one series against TCU or Tech, I can't remember, he went offsides holding sack in like four plays.
Get him out.
Are you kidding me? Like that? Like my ass would have been, like, and they're okay with that. It seems like, I know the players aren't okay with that. I know that's hard on them.
Yep.
I know they look at film. I know that's hard on them, and I can't because I've been in that position.
Well,
But I knew as a player, when it came to film, practice, whatever, like whenever we were competing. I didn't want to be that guy on the film where my boys looked at me in the damn team meeting room and saying, "Hey,
Casey ain't doing it."
Where were you on that one? Yeah.
Yeah. No, we don't have to worry about Casey. Yeah. Like they don't have to watch my film because they know I'm going to come with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
no, absolutely.
And if I mess up, and the thing is, like Mark Schlereth, he was Pro Bowl
offensive line, or he was a Denver Bronco guy.
So. His family, No, I went to school with his daughters and all that stuff, right?
Yep.
And his son. And so we would work out. Will Tootin, Rich Tootin was the strength coach for the Broncos. So we would go work out, right? And so I'd always see him and Dan Neal. My dad always told me to watch Dan Neal.
Dan Neal. You know,
he's like,
man.
Watch Dan Neal. And so that's when I was a kid, that's who I watched. From when he was at Texas all the way through. Mm-hmm. I was like, Dad, who should I watch? And he goes, Dan Neal. And so that's what I kind of
good guy to watch.
Oh, hell yeah. And so that's what I emulated my game off of pretty much my whole career.
Yep.
Try to play like him, you know. And because we're both smaller guys. But he's a lot thicker than I was.
He is. God dang. That guy, when he stepped onto the 40 acres, I remember my dad was coaching there at the time. He stepped in as a freshman and had a higher military press than anybody else on the team.
Oh, wow.
He was just the hardest working kid in the locker room.
Oh, yeah.
So.
No. So, where was I? Where were we at?
Dan Neal, talk about the Schlereths working out in Denver.
There's a thing, Mark's talking about, I don't know if it was, I was talking with him after the Super Bowl or if he had it on a podcast or something like that, but he was talking about, you know, in baseball you go 300 and you're an all-star.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Hall of Famer. He goes, in offensive line play, if you go 300, you're not playing.
No.
You know what I mean?
You're playing left out.
Yeah, you're playing left out. And then he said, you know, you go through a whole game and you whoop this D tackle's ass for 98% of the plays and he gets one sack. And that makes his day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then that whole day, you whooped his ass all game. And then that whole, from the game till you watch it on film, you're sick to your stomach.
Yep.
And you're just like, God, can we get it over with?
And then you want to go out the next week and prove yourself.
Yeah, prove yourself.
Get better.
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm not
seeing.
Another
thing is, too, though, is like, are we not coaching? If you have a mistake.
What do you think the problem is?
Well,
I don't know.
This is a different college football season than any we've ever experienced.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
And the focus of this year has, to be honest with you, has never really been on football. Okay? It's been about, you know, a lot of other outside factors going into the football season. The scheduling.
Yeah.
The, you know, we don't know if we're playing or not.
Play
Baylor, yeah. Baylor's played two games so far this year.
Right.
Okay. And they're postponed again today.
It's because no one could get to the game because traffic in Waco is
They have no discipline
terrible.
Down there in Waco.
Probably.
Bunch of punk.
On or off the field. So, go ahead.
No, I just, to me, it's been a weird season, and a lot of the focus of at least at the University of Texas, from an outsider's perspective, has been really about the kids and the Black Lives Matter movement and all the things surrounding, even the school song. I mean, there's been a lot of controversy recently about the fact that Sam Ehlinger was the only player after the Texas OU game that stood out and put his horns up and sang the school song.
Well, so that's my question. Is it a circumstance thing, talking about COVID and all that? Is it a culture thing that's going on within the team right now? Is it a coaching thing?
But that's happening across the country. It's not just special to the University of Texas. Okay, every school is going through this. Tom Herman did an incredible job of being a player's coach, and he stuck up for his guys, and rightfully so.
Absolutely.
But it has taken away from the product on the field, okay? So it's either this year we're either excited and proud of the kids and the students and the movement they're making, but there's also the competition aspect as well, and Texas isn't putting the product on the field
that they've
been advertising for the last couple of years, and you've got Sam Ehlinger, who without a doubt is one of the top three players in the country.
Right.
Okay. That kid, I'd hire that kid any day of the week because I know that every single week he's putting forth his best effort.
Heart, yeah.
And his art. And it's all on the field for him.
Right.
Okay. But there's a lot of other factors going into this year. It's a little bit different. So how are you supposed to feel about the product that we're seeing on the field?
It's just hard for me to hear that and accept that as the answer or as the issue because I do see other teams excelling. look at Mac at North Carolina.
Yeah.
Like, look at Clemson this year. Look at Georgia. Look at Alabama.
Those teams are still producing a high-quality product on the field.
Right. So where's the disconnect?
Yeah.
In Austin.
I don't know. It's either – it's – for me, it's either the players not giving a crap, or they do – I know they care once the game starts, but not wanting to put the work in like they should, thinking they're already, you know, because they got all these followers. They're a bunch of Instagram guys, more worried about their Instagram than what they do on the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that's the case, or, you know, there's just no pride to me.
But again, there's just no pride. I don't feel like that is necessarily exclusive to the University of Texas.
Sure, but Tom Herman, even in his press conference last week, didn't he say something about, I've just got to figure out how to translate what happens in practice to the games on Saturday. Yeah. So it sounds like they're practicing well. Why aren't they showing up?
Well,
but they ain't fighting in practice either. They ain't like, okay, I'm trying to tell you this. If you're not getting in a fight in practice, the practice is not
intense enough.
Yeah.
If you're not out there competing, talking trash, like the receivers, if I'm a DB, I'm checking the receivers all day and I'm in his face, I'm talking mess all day till he figures it out. The whole season. You know, and, you know, it's just one of those things, like, you got to have players on this team that are, instead of just going through the motions, are
dogs.
Punking people.
Dogs.
Like, dogs, you know what I'm saying?
Like, we need some junkyard dogs.
We don't need no cats. Meow, meow.
No, but, I mean, you need, like...
No, I know exactly
you
what you're talking
about.
You got to
go get those 3-4-star guys that are hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get some guys that are freaking hungry. And I feel like they're not... It doesn't seem like anybody's hungry.
Well, it's a lot of talk, and, you know, you look, I mean, the only way I really see it is through Twitter and through some of the social media stuff, and it's like they care more about that than they are about getting a player to the University of Texas. But once they're here, that's where the biggest disconnect is to me.
Yeah, you're getting a five-star recruit. Where did he go?
There you go.
Why isn't he
being developed? Those 4-star guys, why aren't they being developed into 5-stars? Those 5-star guys, why aren't they all Americans?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, okay, so that's the problem. So what's the answer? Where do we go from
Akina,
here?
Bring back Akina.
Dwayne Akina, Dwayne. There you go. Where's Dwayne at now? See, he's the DB coach
Stanford.
Somewhere. See at Stanford still?
Him and BK are in Stanford. They need to bring both of them back. They got to bring back BK and Akina because our guys never had a problem with getting off that.
Yep.
Getting off it, man.
Texas used to be DBU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where it started. Was in the back, was back there, and then it moved up to
BK
the front.
BK is a receiver coach.
Yeah.
So...
Bobby Kennedy is one of the best coaches that's out there. We were fortunate to have him at Texas for a while.
But see, it's coaches, yeah, we care about you, but we're going to get in your ass.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not the best player, you're not going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole, like, rotation thing, letting everyone get some reps, I don't care. I hate how these players are like, well, I think I deserve to play. And then you get parents that call and do all this kind of crap, too.
No.
In college, I was like, I swear to God, if a parent calls me, I'll cut a kid. If I'm a head coach and a parent calls me and says, my kid needs to be playing, I'm like, well, you just got your son's bags packed, ma'am.
I just saw a bumper sticker flash in my head. Johnny for mayor, Casey for head coach.
There you go.
No, I couldn't be head coach.
I know. To politics.
You know, Casey, you know, you need to be that Ed Reed type of coach that they hired Ed down at Miami.
Yeah.
To come in there and be basically the tone setter.
Just do it for 1 year. Just go in there and just whip him up. Let's get Casey back in there.
Let's get him in shape.
Be a tone setter. I'll be talking so much less to practice.
That's what I'm saying. We need that swag back at the University of Texas.
There's none of that.
You can't be friends with your players. If you're the head coach, you can't be friends with your players.
You got to be a dad figure.
Exactly.
You got to be a dad figure. You got to love your players, but you have to have that authority over them, be like, "Yo, you know, you got to be able to develop them just like a parent. It's what you got to be."
Yeah.
As that period.
Cuz that's where the respect comes in.
Yeah. But yeah.
So that was an aggressive start. We got to take a quick break.
Yep.
And we're going to finish. We're going to let Casey do a couple more rants this morning here on the Big Ugly Tailgate. You're listening to 104.9 The Horn.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Big Ugly Tailgate. Sitting here, no Only one Big 12 game today, but there is a good one out here today. Alabama, Georgia game day is there today. It's in Alabama. You got Auburn.
Who's Auburn?
Auburn, South Carolina. That should be a good game today. Kind of excited to see what Auburn looks like this year.
Yeah, no kidding. Did LSU, is that game canceled? Did I hear that? Who's got COVID? One of the teams has COVID. Some COVID situation going on.
I mean, there's been so many outbreaks.
Five in Florida.
Yeah.
Starting rumors. All right, Case, so what do you think the answer is for this issue? The text line was blown up. Thank you all for your text, by the way. 512-447.
We got some listeners today.
Actually, 512-337-3776 to text in. Yeah, we do have like seven whole listeners.
Yeah.
That's good.
Colonel Flowers had a hearing test yesterday.
That's good. He's old as hell.
He probably had those headsets on like Casey has right now.
Probably one of the saddest texts I've read in a long time. It's CB's last weekend in Austin.
Aw.
I know.
Going to Washington?
Yeah, he's moving north. It's okay. We won't call you a damn Yankee, CB. We appreciate you.
Will he still be as active as he is on Twitter?
Look, he better. Download the Horn app and listen to us from wherever.
You think he's
going
to go to Washington and not have the whole same setup he has at his house right now? You know he's going to have all that.
Chad thinks he's a computer.
I've seen the guy.
Because he's so quick with replies. Like, we'll say something and then he's got the picture on Twitter 2 seconds later. He's the best. We love you, CB.
Yep.
Safe travels and best of luck, but we won't forget you here in Austin. Don't forget us and be sure to keep tuned in. Victor said, preach, preacher. I think it stems from the way we rate these players, 3 or 4 stars. I think we rate them too high in the state of Texas. Coaching also plays a factor, but these players have to get out there and learn what they're teaching them.
You shouldn't go. If you're a coach, you shouldn't go after a 5-star if you don't think he's a 5-star.
Correct.
Agreed.
And you shouldn't go after a 5-star if he doesn't fit your freaking system.
But what is our system? I think that's what I keep asking.
You're absolutely right, Casey. I mean, I don't know if it's just the type of recruit Texas is getting. You know, if a recruit is out there and he takes a commitment from Texas, first off, his star ranking is going to go up.
Yeah,
it's just Texas recruited. It's just because Texas gave him an offer and he accepted it. So he's already
a 3.
If he was
four.
A 3 guy, he's a 4 guy now. So at the end of the season, when they do all the recruiting rankings, Texas is way up there. A&M's usually way up there as well. But then you look at schools, and I know you guys are going to give me a hard time about this again, but look at TCU. TCU has made a living. Gary Patterson has made a living off of turning 2- and 3-star recruits into 4- and 5-star guys when they get to Texas Christian University.
Yeah.
And we've seen that product a couple weeks ago at DKR.
Absolutely. And Johnny, by the way, Casey might disagree with me on this, but you've earned the right at this point.
Well, Gary Patterson.
Y'all came in here to our house and beat us.
Yeah, Gary Patterson is 7-2 against TCU.
Ashley, just leave the room.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
So Casey disagrees with me.
Get your ass out of here.
Listen, the reason we weren't on last weekend wasn't because of Texas OU. It was because the powers that be said we're not letting Johnny on the airwaves after TCU beat Texas.
Do you know how many texts I got that day that was like, "Oh, Johnny's going to be vicious."
I loved everybody that day. It was a great, great Saturday of college football. So it was. And it was a different experience. Have either of y'all been to a game yet this year at Texas?
No.
I won't be going.
No.
So I walked from living downtown. There you go. Texter.
There you go, T-Bone.
Living downtown, I walked to the game, okay? And I'm walking. I go past the Capitol, and I'm walking towards the 40 acres, okay? There was some sort of protest going on at the Capitol.
Still?
Okay? Still. I mean, they're every day. Every day there's something going on there. I'm walking past the state Capitol. Guy coming at me with a AK-47 holding on to it, okay? A machine gun, an automatic, okay? Now, he's got 2 DPS officers walking behind him,
okay.
4 or 5 feet.
I was like, is this a civilian?
He's a civilian, okay?
Okay.
But he's just walking around with a machine gun, and it scared the hell out of me.
How close to the Capitol were you?
On the sidewalk right before we got onto the grounds. So there's it was a different experience walking to the game. Now, once I got past all that, I'm like, all right, we're 2 hours before kickoff. Start walking towards Schultz's Beer Garden. By the way, I didn't realize Schultz's Beer Garden is the longest running business in Austin, Texas.
Yep.
And the oldest beer garden in the United States.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But, so I went to Schultz's.
I'll buy that if anybody ever wants. You can't let the oldest
waste. And it won't. Yeah. I mean, I went over there, had some McConaughey's. It was a good time. But it was pretty empty. You know, there was a lot of social distancing. There was no tailgating. I mean, have you ever been to Schultz? What street is Schultz's on right there?
17th.
That middle street's always packed.
Yeah, I mean, you can barely move on. I mean, yeah. it was a walking zombie apocalypse. There was nobody around.
The reason I don't want to go is because it sounds depressing.
Yeah. Then I went to the game, and you know, it was very spread out. You know, I was up in that touchdown club section in the end zone.
Yeah.
Where you go and you buy beer and all that. I was buying a lot of beer that day.
$8 beers, right?
Because you loved everyone.
It didn't matter because I loved everybody during that game. So, but it was a different experience. I was actually very impressed with the way the University of Texas handled it. Okay, it was an easy getting into the stadium. They've done the right things. Del Conte and his crew have put up an experience that's safe for everybody. But still, you know, you still get that feeling when you walk into the stadium, and it was good to go out and actually watch college football.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately for the Austin fans, their team did not win.
Correct. That is correct.
So we shall see what happens with the University of Texas this year. How do you think Texas rebounds from the last couple of weeks?
Well, a better rebound.
It's Baylor. Baylor at 2:30 next Saturday.
A better rebound. I'll be in Dallas Airport watching the game.
Where are you headed?
Oh, yeah.
Coming back.
The Bisbee?
Yeah, I'm headed to Cabo on Tuesday.
Nobody likes a bragger.
I got to go win a tournament.
Yeah.
I got to go win a fishing tournament.
What are you fishing for?
Black and blue marlin.
Nice. Get you a 400-pounder?
No, like a 900 to 1,000-pounder.
Holy moly.
Boom.
Yeah. 400-pounder won't win that tournament.
No.
But you can weigh a 400-pounder.
Is it catch and release?
No, if you got to weigh them. I mean, there's a catch and release category, too, where you can win like $500,000.
What's the big pot?
Like 4.1.
Oh, boy. Now, do you split that
this
with the entire boat?
Might be Casey's last tailgate.
Let's say you win.
Yeah.
You split that with everybody on the boat, I'm assuming?
You pay out your captain, your deck mates, you know, the guys that are running the lines, you know, putting all that stuff out. You pay them, they get a percentage or whatever, and then whoever the money guy is, they do whatever they want with it.
What are you gonna do with $500,000 if you win?
I don't know if I wouldn't win $500,000.
Well, I mean, let's say you win the big pot, and your portion is, what are you gonna do?
I don't have a portion. I'm there to I'm just to reel in the fish.
Okay.
I'm the angler.
Someone said, Casey, if you win the Bisbee, are you even coming back?
Yeah, but with a lot of tequila.
and a lot of sushi, too.
Yeah. If we catch a tuna, that would be nice.
That's legit.
The marlin, they take the marlin, they give it to all the locals.
Oh, nice.
Do y'all sleep on the boat or how?
No, we got some villas where last year we stayed right there in downtown Cabo at the Waldorf Astoria.
Nice.
It's pretty cool because you go like they carve this hole in the mountain, and you drive through it, and then on the other side of it's a huge beach, and then the resort or whatever.
I did my birthday there a couple years ago.
Okay, so you've been there.
Cabo's a fun place.
I've
been to the office. I only went one time. We're trying to bring a restaurant concept at Flora Farms.
Oh yeah.
You ever been to Flora Farms?
Yeah, we were doing the show when you went to Cabo, and you were like, "Do you want me to call in?" And Casey's like, "Piss off."
Yeah. That was fun.
No, we don't want you to call in, jerk.
That was a good time. Flora Farms, that farm to table. It's one of the coolest restaurants.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna do that here. Everyone thinks it's too hard. I'm gonna do it here in Texas.
I'd love to see it.
Dude, in Austin, that would be huge.
Well, I mean, it's kind of expensive around here. I have to find land because you have to.
Oh, that's true.
Because Flora Farms, you raise your pigs, you raise your own chickens, your own eggs,
it's also
all your own
in the middle
vegetables.
Of
all your
nowhere.
Own vegetables.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's not like it's in the middle of Cabo San Lucas. You got to drive about 30 minutes to get down there.
Oh, it's awesome.
And there's another place right next to it called Acre. Yep. It's also really kind of a modern, it's more of a modern Floor Farms.
They had a pork chop there. Woo. But they have brick ovens. I mean, they have everything up there. It's like a bake shop. It's everything.
This section brought to you by Cabo San Lucas.
I was about to say, travel Cabo.
That's it.
So,
but it's a beautiful place. A lot of golf, good golf courses, but you're heading down to fish, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that's all my wife knows. If we're going anywhere, I'm like, where? So can I get a trip in? So, but she's coming down with me. So
good.
Me and her are going to go.
The kiddos?
They'll be with grandma.
Awesome. Wow. So y'all get a little break.
Yeah, so we're going
to
go down there.
Got to see Casey last weekend. He was catering a X-Space event that we did.
Yeah.
And that was a pretty good time. Yeah, Abel's on the lake. And
yeah.
Had some damn good barbecue.
The outcome of the game wasn't good.
True. Did you like DJ No Request being live at Abel's on the lake?
I'm glad he wasn't live.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but it was good to see the Rocket.
I didn't realize Roger Clemens is now a DJ as well.
Yeah, DJ No Request.
Which, by the way, is one of the best DJ names I've ever heard, because you know all the DJs hate it when people come up and they're like,
"Oh yeah,
play Freebird or play Puff," you know, whoever. and he's just like, "Look at the name."
What was that movie? We're strictly Billy Joel cover band, sir.
Yeah,
Freebird. I said,
but Catalina yeah, wine DJ No Request, the Rocket. He had a good story about you, Casey.
Yeah, I don't like losing.
Evidently, a couple years ago at the annual Texas OU softball game that Roger Clemens put on. It's a charity event, correct?
Yeah,
TK puts it on in Dallas every year.
Yeah, and Texas was down to OU in this softball game. Pretty good.
Like 13 runs or something.
13 runs or something like that. And evidently, Casey called everybody to the sidelines and gave a rousing pep talk that rallied the University of Texas to come back and beat OU in that softball game.
Yeah.
And Roger said it was one of the top motivational speeches he's ever heard.
Casey, I'm making the bumper sticker.
He said you need to
light a fire down on at DKR.
And Roger did say that it was not suitable for the kids to listen to this
to
this talk.
Yeah.
Casey's saying something that I don't give a frick if it's a pie eating contest. We do not lose
to
Oklahoma, and they came back and they beat him. So Casey is a legend amongst legends.
Well done, you.
Well, I mean, it's just there's a standard, and it's, you know, just goes back to like what we're talking about with Texas.
Used to be.
Like, when we first started, we were called soft, and that was like something that we put in our, we're like, no, we're not going to be called soft.
Do you think Texas has that on them right now? That
yeah.
Soft
they
have team?
Yeah. What do you mean? What? They've been like that for 5-6 years soft. They don't have any dogs. The last dog that was ever there was Quandre Diggs.
Mm-hmm. That was a dog. That was a JYD right there.
He was the last dog that was at Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on the defense. Malik Jefferson, soft. He wouldn't even have started with us. That's what's so crazy about that. He wouldn't even have started on our team.
Yeah.
And the way he played linebacker, we would have thrown his little ass. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, he's, you know what I'm saying? It's just different times. The level of
accountability.
The level of.
That's what I don't see, because I see these guys being good players. I just haven't seen the accountability. I don't know if it's to each other or if it's, you know, to the team. But if I'm a player, I'm proving to the guy next to me that I'm at least going to do my job and do it very well.
Right.
I don't think the players are holding each other accountable.
They're not. There's no.
That's where I'm seeing a disconnect.
We would tell the walk-ons to lock the doors, to hold the doors shut, and we put boxing gloves on and be like, all right, get it over with.
Let's go.
In the locker room.
Really?
We said, take it to the store. I'm dead serious. You can ask anybody. Selvin Young, like, here's the gloves.
Like boxing gloves?
Yeah. Dede Lewis picked up Tillman Holloway and slammed his ass.
Get out.
Over his head.
Oh. Dede Lewis put a number on me in high school, but I don't even want to know what he was like in college. That guy knows. We played Aldine in high school in the state semifinals, and that guy knocked me out of the video. I stepped up to try and get him, on, and he did not have the ball. And the coach, I've told this story before, but the coach literally replayed it probably 20 times the next day at film.
Those are the worst.
You see me, you don't. You see, here comes DeAndre. You see me. You don't. It was the hardest hit I've ever experienced in my life. So the fact that he had gloves on in the locker room and just slamming dudes, that's not as surprising. I just don't think you would ever see that this day with this Texas team.
Well, and someone just texted in, are former players even invited to talk to the team by Tom Herman? No pride in this team, or all caps, accountability.
They're not going to, they're not going to listen. I don't know. You know, that's where I think I'm at right now. I don't know what's going on, but
something ain't right.
As a man, as a football player, as a competitor, as being a Texas Longhorn coming to a university on a full scholarship, like, there's got to be some sort of pride in your blood not to lose or to get better. And all these guys, I know all of them are like, yeah, I think I'm going to go to the league. Well, the way y'all are playing, none of y'all are going to the league.
Right. Yep.
Stearns ain't going to be he'd probably get picked up third, fourth round now.
Maybe. Maybe.
Unless he balls out the rest of the season. But he was a potential first, second rounder.
Yep.
So
haven't seen the development.
So Victor texted in earlier, like I said, about it stems from the way we rate these players. And someone replied to him on the text line and said, hey, Victor, why do 5 stars only fail at Texas? Everywhere else they succeed and end up being draft picks.
Good point. That's the development. I mean,
so that's what I'm saying. Is it a culture thing? Is it a circumstance thing or a coaching thing?
Well, where does it start at the University of Texas?
I'm not there. Coaching.
It starts with the coaches.
Yeah.
And the coaches just aren't. And I'm a very pro-coaching guy.
For sure.
But this staff has not been able to get it done.
And it's a and
we
half
brought
new staff.
You brought in Chris Ash to handle the defense. And they're
only person, the person right now that is getting it done, the only one, is strength coach.
Yeah.
Yance. McKnight. Yancey. He's the only one that is. But we're going above and beyond doing his job.
But the Chris Ash experience has not translated very well here at the University of Texas. Jay Boulware was brought in to solid up that special teams. We haven't seen that.
He should already be fired.
And you know,
That's what I said. I said he should have been fired. That punter, okay, this is my last rant. So Dicker the kicker. Dicker the kicker. That 300-pound, 6-foot lineman just took his hand up and he blocked it. That's on you. That's on him.
It's a low kick.
That's on him. You've straight lined a kick. That's on you. That's your fault. The punter, 3 weeks in a row, wants to take an extra step. What do you like? If I'm the special teams coach, you take 2 steps, you punt the damn ball. No more 3 or 4 steps trying to get way out there. No, you take 2 steps, kick the ball. I would already fix that. No, you got 2 steps. Go. You take 1, 2, boom. That's it.
I don't disagree.
4 steps, and then finally, Tech exposed it. TCU almost hit home. TCU did hit home. Mm-hmm. TCU hit home. Then the next week, following week, freaking Oklahoma hits home. You're gone, dude. But that goes back. If you have this many, is it coaching that bad or is it the players? Because that's a lot of stuff happening.
Right.
That's a lot of stuff happening. So is it really coaching that bad? Because I can't see coaching being that bad.
At this level?
Right? That's what I'm saying. There's so many mistakes. There's just, you know, longer, you know.
I mean, has the coaching staff lost the team?
Oh.
I mean, that's kind of a disconnect that I'm seeing right now, because either coaches are not putting the guys in the right position, or the guys aren't putting themselves in the right position and doing what they want.
And that's what I was insinuating earlier. You can't be friends with your players. What is the culture like over there that there's – what seems to be a lack of respect?
Yeah. Well, we go back to the Eyes of Texas comment, and you know, the AD Chris Del Conte told all the coaches, hey, listen, you don't have to go out there and sing the school song, but you're going to stay out there while it's being played and show your appreciation to all the fans that traveled to come and watch you play.
Right.
And only one guy.
Yeah.
One person, one player on that team
who has the biggest heart on that team.
Stayed out there.
But I did hear, though, a lot of the players were like, well, our band wasn't there because it was an away game. So they all thought, you know, they weren't going to do it.
Well, there should have been a coach standing at the tunnel saying, hey, turn around.
That's a leadership thing, yeah.
That's a leadership thing.
And communication thing.
So I don't know if it's Tom Herman saying, hey, don't worry about that. You do what you want.
But since game one, players have been walking off the field during the eyes. So... clearly the message was not relayed.
And correct.
Clearly,
it was relayed to the coaches. I know that.
Yes.
By Chris Del Conte.
It was not delayed, and it's not getting done for some reason.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
It's weird times.
So, anyways, we got to take a quick commercial break, and then Will Matthews is going to call, and he has something going on here in the community real soon. And we'll be right back with more Big Ugly Tailgate after this.
I always said that you'd love to live out here.
Why do you listen to her?
Where you can smell the morning.
I don't know, bro. I give her faith sometimes, but
golly.
It's a great
that
song.
Oh, my Lord. I'll tell you this, though. I do a lot of people, and probably a lot of older folks, and thought that what that girl did, that Longhorn fan flipped off the OU fan or players or whatever, was not classy, but I'll high-five her every time I see her.
She was getting marriage proposals on Twitter.
Easily.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, good. I'm glad she got a good response for that. I like that. I'm glad it's on. I just saw it on ESPN, and I'm really happy I saw that.
I mean,
she makes my day.
It's OU.
You have a free sandwich at Whitfield's, ma'am.
Come on down.
Come on down. Yeah, we'll be open this weekend, but we'll be closed next week.
I did have one of the texters text in and say that he thinks that, you know, Del Conte should delay the Eyes of Texas for a couple minutes, let the players show their appreciation, and if they want to stay out there for the song, so be it. But at least at least do something to show your appreciation to these fans that are coming to watch you guys play.
Appreciate y'all.
Thank y'all. Hook them.
And then start the...
And then if you want to stay around, that could be a good solution.
Yeah.
But didn't he meet with the team this week?
I don't know.
On like Thursday, CDC, our buddy who, you know, we know listens to the show every weekend. Apparently he met with the team this week. Not sure what happened in that meeting, but.
Well, I've got total faith in Del Conte. He's.
Oh, for sure.
He's a stud. He hopefully can get this ship going in the right direction, whether that's with Tom Herman next year or not is yet to be determined. But I think Tom stays. I mean, we're going to find out at the end of this year. You know, if he can kind of right the ship and get this team going in the right direction, maybe play in a Cotton Bowl and win.
Or say win out.
Or win out.
But if he doesn't win out, but this is the weaker part of his schedule. Supposed to be.
Yeah. Because who do we still have that's good?
It's a good question. Well, let's pull up the Texas schedule.
Iowa State.
Yeah. Do we play Oklahoma State coming up?
You think all these kids at Texas were spanked as kids?
Say that again?
You think they were spanked as kids?
I think you know the answer to that, Kate.
Hell no.
No, they were just very disappointed. Their parents were just very disappointed.
But here's a participation trophy. You need to go to your room,
go sit in the corner.
Yeah. I'm going to take your cellular device away from you.
No.
You think a single one of them ever got the go get my belt?
All right, so here we go. Here we go. I'm going to go down the Texas schedule, and you tell me what you think if they've got a chance to win these games. Next week, October 24th, at home against Baylor, win or lose?
Win.
Casey?
Huh?
Texas, Baylor at home. Do you think Texas can beat Baylor at home?
Yes.
All right. Saturday, October 31st, the Horns head up to Boone Pickens Stadium to play Oklahoma State. You think that's against, right now, they're... Oklahoma State's ranked 7th in the country. Casey, you think Texas can beat Oklahoma State at Oklahoma State?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's not listening.
No, I agree with that.
All right, then we have West Virginia at home. Can Texas beat West Virginia? I think they can. At home, for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
At Kansas, at David Booth Stadium. Austinite David Booth. But at Kansas, I think Texas wins that. The biggest game, in my opinion, left on their schedule is when they get Iowa State at home.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
On November 27th.
That's going to be a hard one. Yeah.
That's going to be a tough game.
That's a Thanksgiving game.
Yeah. So then they're at K-State, and then the Big 12 championship is Saturday, December 12th.
Well,
I don't foresee Texas
don't
being in that
we
game.
Don't believe we will be at that game.
Correct. But, you know, everybody's got to finish out, play the game. So, you know, we'll see. I think the two biggest games have got to be at Oklahoma State on the 31st and then at home against Iowa State.
Okay, kind of clear some stuff up about the eyes, right? Sam, there's another player out there, right?
Okay, two.
But the guys, Quan Cosby texted and said, no way the football just blatantly go against the AD, right? He said even other sports were doing other things until their coaches reached out, you know, for guidance. He said that even in Lubbock, they didn't have due to the eyes of Texas. So it's been kind of different, right?
Gotcha. So there hasn't been really any consistency.
There really hasn't been any consistency.
Well, then that's where it starts at the top.
Yeah, because they didn't play it in Texas. So, I mean, that's just a little clarification with Quan right there. And we got Will Matthews on. Will, what's happening, boss?
What's going on, guys?
Oh, you know, just a little eventful morning.
Yeah, it seems like a lot's going on.
Yeah, I just, you know, just frustrated with soft play.
Yeah. So, Casey.
I mean, your nickname was Headache. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're all, like, nice and stuff now. People really don't know you. Like, your nickname was Headache. You wanted to crush people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you took people out.
So, Case, how many games do we win before we even played the game when we walked out on the field?
Half of them.
I got to see that Texas swag. You know, I want to see teams scared before the ball even snaps on the first play.
Yeah, we won a lot of games walking off the bus.
Yeah.
Yeah, we showed up. They're here.
Showed up. We brought more fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Dang, they got more people tailgating than we have here? Shoot. Yeah. But, yeah, no, that's just the thing. It's just there's no they're not holding each other accountable, Will. There's nobody in the locker room checking another player like, you ain't doing it right. There's no fights. Yeah. They ain't fighting. You know, you don't need to be fighting your brother, but, like, sometimes that needs to happen on the field. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, you fight your brother, and then you get it, and then it's all good.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
You guys fight on the field.
I mean, as long as you're fighting, as long as you're not fighting with each other on Saturdays, that's all that matters, right?
Yeah, that's when it gets crazy.
Yeah. But you guys had a pretty good, solid backfield back when you were here at the University of Texas. Sed B, Brett Robin, you. I mean, that was a squad.
Selvin Young, yeah, it was.
Yeah, there was just a pride and that came along with being a Longhorn and being a running back. I mean, really, Ricky Williams started that in the new era. And, I mean, as soon as everybody saw Ricky's dreads, everybody who could grow dreads started growing them and wanted to be a running back. So it was a simple thing. Then you get a guy like Sed B. Goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Special.
Yeah. I mean, it's just wild. Rest in peace.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it's just wild times. But what you got going on, man? I got your you're having a big streaming event here in Central Texas on October 22nd.
Next week.
Yeah, next Thursday. So I reached out to a couple of guys, got Vince Young and Derek Johnson, even TJ Ford.
Wow.
And some incredible musicians, Malford Mulligan, Mobley, Jackie Vinson. And really, I mean, even when you guys are just talking about the eyes of Texas, truthfully, when it all comes down to it, it really comes down to relationship. When people have a really good relationship with each other and they're able to see a lot of different views, they start to understand each other and a lot of these kinds of things start to disappear. There's something special about sports and music that brings people together. I mean, it was all of us in the locker room and we went at each other and learned about each other and ended up becoming lifelong friends and going to each other's homes and became family. And from that, we learned from each other's races and who they are. And so this event is about raising awareness, building relationships and entertainment and having some fun and getting to hear some perspectives from some Longhorn legends who've, you know, seen race in a different light than most. And so we're hoping to have some fun and make a difference.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Can you give us more detail about where and when and all that good stuff?
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah. So it's next Thursday, October 22nd, 7 p.m. 7 to 8:30 we'll kick it off, and you can go to herdevent.com. It's H-E-A-R-D event.com. Register. It's super simple, and hope to see you all there.
Nice.
No, absolutely. Yeah, I've been seeing, you know, you've been doing a lot of good stuff, yeah, with positive conversations. And,
yeah, well, you've been speaking up a lot about mental health and about, yeah, football players. Would you mind just speaking to that for a real quick second?
Yeah, I mean, and Casey knows this as well as I do, a lot of guys, as soon as they're done with football, they absolutely crumble. I mean, you're looking at a guy or an athlete in any sport who's been working and training for one thing for almost 20 years, and then you walk into the locker room and your stuff isn't in there anymore. And then who are you?
Yeah.
I mean, from the time I was 12 years old in Austin, right here in Austin, Texas, we were playing at 12 to 20,000 people. Hometown guy. I mean, there's this thing that you've built your whole identity on, and it's gone, and nobody really
can like that.
Understand that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so after something like that happens, I mean, you got to find yourself, and a lot of us fall into that hole for a while. And I did. And I'm super thankful to, you know, my brothers and guys who I look up to and mentors and family and faith, that I didn't stay down in the crazy places and was able to get out. But, you know, especially right now with people in their homes, political unrest, racial, yeah, injustice, markets tanking, all kinds of stuff happening. Like, we've got to try to focus on our mental health and be there for people and reach out and call. And I mean, and it's just a testament to friendship and relationship. I can text Casey and be like, hey, bro,
I need, yeah, you.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Hey, I love you, man.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What's the family looking like? You know? And yeah. I mean, I've known Casey for almost 20 years now. So it's that, those kinds of things are important, especially when it comes to mental health.
Yeah, and you just had a virtual 5K. Was it last week that you guys did that with NAMI Walks?
Yeah.
National Alliance for Mental Illness.
Very cool.
That's awesome. Great organization.
I'm absolutely overwhelmed with the outpouring of love for that event. I mean, we were able to, I think the number is up to $260,000.
Wow.
Great job, Will.
That helps. Huh?
It's a great job.
Yeah, I mean, just kudos and hats off to the team for busting it to really fuel mental health free counseling, free workshops, free awareness. Like, anybody can be a part of NAMI as they start their journey to a better mental health lifestyle. And for people in a pandemic, when people are losing jobs, to raise that much money, you know, you can tell that there's something special behind it.
Absolutely. And you've definitely got the conversation going, which is great. Keep it going. And you've got some goats coming to your event. Derek Johnson's my favorite all-time Longhorn to
DJ
watch.
That was a junkyard dog
I used to love watching DJ on the field. Like, every time I see his name, I just get excited. But another great organization for you to consider is the MVP, Merging Vets and Players, because I do a lot of work with veterans and military, and they kind of go through that same identity crisis. I know Nate Boyer's really involved with them, but just one to check out, because it's another great organization, Merging Veterans and Players. Okay, what do I do now that I'm out? And I just think your cause and your purpose is great. So keep on keeping on.
That's beautiful. I've seen some of the stuff that he's doing, and I'm sure our paths will cross in the future. But I mean, that's what I heard. A friend of ours who played while we were playing, Nathan Kaspar, after he saw some of the stuff that I was doing with NAMI, shot me a text, and he's like, vets are dealing with the exact same thing.
100%.
And I mean, I'm so proud of that guy. He's defended our country and spent quite a bit of time in the military, and I just respect his, his opinion and what he's doing, and like, and you don't make that parallel sometimes, but there's so many, there's so many life experiences, especially with vets and with athletes, where, you know, it's high stress, high energy, high relationship, like, let's have this one thing. And then all of a sudden you got to go out to, you know, what could be referred to as the real world. And okay, now those skills that you honed, they're not going to get you a Fortune 500.
Right. Yeah. Right.
CEO position.
Absolutely.
Mean, you gotta sink or swim. And it's super unfortunate that a lot of people sink. And, you know, that's why this message is so important right now.
Well, we definitely appreciate you calling in, and we've put the word out on our social media. We'll continue to do that over the next week. And y'all definitely look it up and figure out the details and show up.
Thank you guys so much.
Appreciate it, brother. Everybody. Talk to you soon, boss.
No, bye.
We got to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with more Big Ugly Tailgate after this.